All right, everyone, let's jump right in. We are diving into a case today that has some pretty huge implications for the legal world.
Yeah.
It all starts out on one of Minnesota's many lakes.
Okay.
It's a seemingly normal encounter. At first, you have John Colosimo just enjoying a day out fishing when he gets approached by Conservation Officer Robert Stein.
Right.
At first, everything seems pretty friendly. You know, they're chatting it up. Colosimo even mentions that he's been fishing.
Uh-huh.
But then Officer Stein asks to inspect the boat.
Oh.
And that's when things take a turn. Colosimo refuses. And that sets off this whole legal battle that ends up going all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court.
Yeah, this case, State v. Colosimo, it's not just about this one fisherman and his, you know, run-in with a conservation officer.
Right.
This case brings up some really big questions about the Fourth Amendment,
mm-hmm.
you know, the right to privacy and the government's power to regulate different activities. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about potential ripple effects for everything from hunting to potentially even healthcare down the line.
So did the court side with the officer or the fisherman?
Well, it's a little bit of a legal roller coaster. This case went back and forth between different courts, but ultimately the Minnesota Supreme Court, they sided with the state.
Okay, wait a minute. So the Supreme Court said it's okay for a conservation officer to just search someone's boat without a warrant, even if they haven't done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. And, you know, the court had to really grapple with some pretty thorny issues here.
Yeah.
Think about it. Do you give up some of your privacy rights when you step onto a boat with a fishing license?
Right.
I mean, that was really at the heart of this whole case.
So let's break it down a little bit.
Mm.
What were the key questions that the court really had to answer here?
Well, they had to figure out a few things.
Yeah.
Did the officer's initial approach even count as a quote-unquote stop under the Fourth Amendment?
Okay.
Was that Minnesota law about these boat inspections even constitutional? And maybe most importantly, did Colosimo actually have a reasonable expectation of privacy on his boat?
Wow. Those are some pretty heavy-hitting questions.
Yeah.
So what did the court ultimately decide on those?
So on the first one, they said that the officer's initial approach was not a Fourth Amendment stop. The boat was already stationary and the conversation, you know, it seemed consensual at first,
mm-hmm.
but then things get interesting.
This is where it gets really interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. So they upheld that Minnesota statute that allows for these warrantless boat inspections.
Okay.
And they really leaned heavily on the fact that fishing is a highly regulated activity.
Right.
That's a key point here.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, because fishing is so regulated, you should expect less privacy when you're out on the water.
Exactly.
Okay.
They kind of drew a parallel to cars. Think about it. You have a lot less expectation of privacy in your car than you do in your home, right?
Right.
Well, they applied that same logic to boats. You know, they're out in public. They're subject to a lot of rules, so the privacy expectation is lower.
Interesting. But did everyone on the court agree with that?
Not exactly. We'll get into the dissenting opinion a bit later, but first let's unpack the majority opinion a little bit.
Okay, let's unpack it. What was the main thrust of their argument?
So Justice Gilbert, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really emphasized this idea of the regulatory context.
Sure.
You know, they pointed to the Minnesota Constitution, which specifically says that the state has the power to manage wildlife.
Right.
And they argued that all of those fishing rules about licenses and catch limits, even where you can fish, are there for a reason. They're
yeah.
there to protect this valuable public resource.
So they're basically saying that the state's interest in conservation trumps the individual's interest in privacy, at least when it comes to fishing.
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah.
Okay.
They used what's called a balancing test to kind of weigh those competing interests.
Yeah.
And in this case, they said that the state's interest was strong enough to justify a warrantless search of the open areas of a boat.
Hold on. Open areas. Does that mean that they could have searched a closed compartment in his boat without a warrant?
That's a great question, and it kind of highlights a key nuance in the court's decision here.
Yeah.
They specifically limited the scope of the search to areas where fish would typically be stored.
Cool.
You know, they weren't saying officers can just go through every little nook and cranny.
So if I'm fishing, I should expect that my cooler and my live well are fair game, but my tackle box and other closed compartments, those are off limits unless they have a warrant or probable cause.
You got it. That's the takeaway here.
Okay.
The court recognized that they needed to balance these competing interests.
Right.
And they tried to draw a line that protects both conservation efforts and some degree of individual privacy.
All right, so that's the majority opinion.
Yeah.
They basically said fishing is regulated boats are like cars, less privacy, case closed.
Right.
But there was a dissenting opinion, right? What did they have to say about all of this?
Oh, the dissent definitely had something to say about it. Justice Page, he wasn't buying this whole, you know, reduced expectation of privacy argument, at least not to this extent.
Right.
He argued back saying just because you buy a fishing license, that doesn't mean you just suddenly give up your constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
He saw this ruling as a potential slippery slope.
A slippery slope. What did he mean by that?
Well, he was worried that this decision could open the floodgates to more and more, you know, intrusions on our Fourth Amendment rights. He basically said, OK, today it's fishing boats, but what's going to stop them tomorrow from applying this to hunting licenses or ATV permits or really any other kind of regulated activity?
So he's concerned this could set a precedent for warrantless searches in a bunch of other areas.
Exactly. And he pointed to another case, State v. Larson, to kind of support his point.
OK.
In that case, the court had ruled that even though commercial fishing is heavily regulated, the government still needs probable cause to search someone's home.
Right.
He saw this Colosimo decision as potentially contradicting that precedent.
So one judge is worried about, you know, eroding our right to privacy, and another is focused on the practical needs of conservation.
Hmm.
It's like two different worlds colliding.
It really is. And then you have Justice Anderson, who wrote a concurring opinion.
Okay.
He agreed with the majority's decision, but he really wanted to make it clear that this ruling should only apply to the open areas of boats, not to all types of conveyances.
Got it.
He seemed a little hesitant to make the decision too sweeping.
Okay, so even within the court, there was some disagreement about how far this reduced expectation of privacy idea should go.
Right.
But let's zoom out for a moment. This case raises some broader questions about administrative searches, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The court cited Camara v. Municipal Court, which is this landmark case about administrative searches, to kind of justify their decision in Colosimo.
Remind me, what was Camara all about?
In simple terms, Camara says that for things like restaurant health inspections or building code inspections, you generally need a warrant. But there's a key exception.
Yeah.
If getting a warrant would be impractical, or if there's a really strong public interest at stake, then warrantless searches might be okay.
So the court is essentially saying that protecting wildlife resources falls under that exception.
Exactly. They argued that requiring a warrant for every boat inspection would be a logistical nightmare and would really hurt conservation efforts.
I can see how that would be a problem. But the dissent seemed to think that probable cause should still be a requirement even in these regulated contexts.
Right. The dissent argued that just because an activity is regulated, it doesn't give the government, you know, a free pass to search whenever they want.
Right.
There still needs to be some level of suspicion that a specific person is breaking the rules.
So it sounds like the court had to walk a very fine line here.
Yeah.
They had to weigh the intensity of the regulation, the scope of the search, the individual's expectation of privacy, and the state's interest in conservation. It's a complex balancing act.
Absolutely. And the Colosimo case highlights just how tricky these Fourth Amendment issues can be.
Yeah.
There's rarely a simple answer, and the court's decision in this case is probably going to be debated for years to come.
Okay, so we've covered the majority opinion, the dissent, the broader context of administrative searches. But I'm curious, what does all this mean for the average angler, you know, out on the lake?
Right.
And what about for lawyers who might be dealing with similar cases?
So for anglers, the big takeaway here is this. When you're out fishing in Minnesota, the open areas of your boat, like you said, your coolers, your live wells, areas where fish are typically stored, those can be inspected by conservation officers without a warrant.
Okay.
They don't need probable cause to look in those areas.
So just because I have a fishing license, they can just come up and look in my cooler?
Essentially, yes. But it's important to remember what we talked about earlier. You know, this ruling is really specific to those areas where fish would typically be kept.
Right.
It doesn't give them free rein to search closed compartments or your personal belongings without a warrant or probable cause.
Okay, so there are still some limits, but this does seem like it gives conservation officers a pretty good amount of authority.
It does, and that's why the dissent, you know, was so concerned about the potential for abuse.
Right, that slippery slope argument. Let's talk about that for a second. What are the broader implications here? Could this ruling be extended to other regulated activities?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's one that, you know, lawyers, legal scholars are grappling with right now.
Yeah.
Could this same logic be applied to hunting, for example, or people riding ATVs on public lands?
Right.
I mean, those are all activities that are subject to regulations. Mm-hmm. So it's not crazy to think that someone might try to use the Colosimo case as a precedent.
That's a pretty scary thought. If this ruling does set a precedent, it could have some very big implications for privacy rights, you know, in a bunch of different areas.
Exactly. And that's why cases like this are so important.
Yeah.
They really force us to think critically about where we draw the line between, you know, individual liberty and the need for effective law enforcement.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and think about this from a lawyer's perspective. What should lawyers, especially those who might be handling cases like this, what should they take away from State v. Colosimo?
For defense attorneys, this case is a huge wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
If you're representing someone who's been subject to a warrantless search, you really have to be extra careful.
Yeah.
The Colosimo decision sets a pretty high bar for challenging those searches, but there are still some potential arguments to be made.
Like what are some strategies that defense attorneys might consider?
One thing you might try is to challenge whether the search actually fell within the scope that's allowed by the Colosimo ruling.
Okay.
Did the officer go beyond inspecting areas where fish would typically be stored? You know, did they overstep their bounds?
So really scrutinizing the specifics of the search and looking for any violations of that, you know, open areas limitation. What else?
Another approach might be to challenge whether the activity was really highly regulated enough to justify a warrantless search. I mean, the Colosimo decision leaned heavily on the specific regulations around fishing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But what about other activities? Would birdwatching, for example, fall under that same category?
Probably not.
Probably not, but there's definitely room for argument there.
So defense attorneys need to really dig into the details of the case
right.
and the relevant regulations to see if there are any holes in the state's argument.
Mm-hmm.
What about for prosecutors? How does this help them?
Well, for prosecutors, Colosimo is a really powerful tool.
Uh-huh.
They can use this highly regulated framework now to justify warrantless searches in all sorts of contexts.
Yeah.
Of course, they still have to operate within the bounds of the Fourth Amendment, but this decision definitely gives them more leeway.
It sounds like this case is going to have some serious ripple effects throughout the legal system. I mean, it's not just about fishing anymore.
Right.
It's about how we define reasonable searches and seizures in a world where more and more activities are being regulated by the government.
Absolutely. And as technology keeps evolving, these questions are only going to get more and more complex.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, think about it. Where do drone surveillance programs used by conservation officers fit into all of this? What about GPS tracking to monitor hunting activities?
Wow.
These are all things that the courts are going to have to figure out in the years to come.
It feels like this case is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, it's opening up this whole Pandora's box of legal questions about privacy and technology and the reach of government power.
And that's why it's so important for all of us, you know, as lawyers and as citizens, to really be engaged in these conversations.
Absolutely.
We need to be aware of our rights. We need to understand what these legal decisions could mean, and we need to make our voices heard.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into State v. Colosimo, I think the message is pretty clear.
Yeah.
This case may have started with a fisherman and a conservation officer, but the questions it raises go way beyond, you know, the shores of Rainy Lake.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that the fight for privacy is never really over, and it's a fight that affects all of us.
Well said. This case is a call to action for everyone to really think critically about the balance between individual liberty and collective security in a world that's constantly changing.
Thanks for diving deep with us today, everyone. We hope this deep dive gave you a better understanding of this really important case and all the big issues it brings up. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.